tides of grace. Now, usually when you talk about the two sides of something, you're talking about the heads and the tails, like the pros and the cons. But there are no cons to the grace of God. So I have a coin here. This is the Marine Corps Toys for Tots coin. I'm not sure why they made it, but it served me this morning. This side is kids' toys. So the one side of God's grace is gifts. It's a gift. You don't earn it. It's just given to you. The other side, like the Marines, God's grace is powerful. So we're going to look at the gift and the power. The gift and the power. Last week we talked about our identity in Christ, and one of those graces addresses our identity before we're saved. The second one is after we're saved. So the two definitions. I like definitions. They help me to understand things a little bit better. So the first side, the grace that we needed before we accepted Christ, is the unmerited favor of God. The unmerited favor of God. All that means is it was a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't get to some place where you did enough good things that God said, okay, now they can be saved. It is the unmerited favor of God. The second side of His grace is God's empowering. And what that is talking about is God's empowering for you and I to be who He created and planned for us to be. We looked last week that even in our mother's wombs, He formed us. And He had a plan and a purpose. Well, He can announce His plan and purpose to us, but can we get there without His grace? Absolutely not. We need His empowering to get us to where He designed us to be. So we're going to start in Ephesians 2. First verse, Ephesians 2. And you were dead. Were dead. That means you aren't any longer. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly, though not any longer, you formerly walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. But God. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were, but no longer. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were, past tense again, even when we were dead in our transgressions, what did He do? Made us alive together with Christ. You can say it with me. By grace, you have been saved. Let's try that again. I think I was the only one that said that. By grace, you have been saved. And raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In order that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His... See, there's the saving grace, and then there's the grace we needed after we were saved, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not a result of works that anyone should boast. So the grace that saves us is not earned. It's a gift that is given. From Romans 5. Even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many. God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. God's wonderful grace. Wonderful grace. And his gift of righteousness causes those who receive it to triumph over sin and death. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, right? So we were separated. We were sinners. We were part of the kingdom of darkness. But God and his gift of grace. So when we realized what Jesus did for us on the cross, what he provided for us, what his death and resurrection bought for us, we were able to come and say, God, forgive me of those things that I did that displeased you. Forgive me for those ways that I missed the mark and didn't live up to being the person you desired me to be. And by your grace, I ask that you would save me. I choose to follow after you the rest of my life. And that's the grace that we don't earn. Because in that moment, we're saved by what Jesus did, not by anything that we accomplished. Amen? So let's look now for a little bit at the second part. Because I believe most of you, I haven't asked every single person individually, but I believe that most of you have taken part of the first grace, the grace for salvation. If not, there's a number of us that would love to talk to you after the service and help you with that. But most of us are on the other side. We're now part of the kingdom of God. We now have been born again. And we need the second grace. And remember, that's God's empowering to be the you he created and planned you to be. God's empowering to be the you he created and planned you to be. And he made us all so unique. He doesn't want you to be me, and he doesn't want me to be you, but he wants you to be the you that he created you to be. Amen. Thank you for that southern amen. I appreciate that. So we're going to look at a couple adventures that Paul went on. Who remembers, just briefly, if you don't remember exact points, but Paul needed a lot of God's empowering grace. Amen. That man went through it. And he needed God's empowering grace. So we're going to look at a couple examples of that this morning. Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 1 is where we're going to start. This is where Paul receives his missionary calling. And just a reminder that Saturday, Elam Fellowship is going to be here. That's the body that is our covering. We're affiliated with Elam Fellowship of Lima, New York. And they are coming down and they are going to ordain Pastor Van. So that's happening this Saturday coming up. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers. Prophets and teachers. Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And when they were ministering to the Lord, you realize what that means. When they were worshiping, when they were praying, when they were spending time in His presence and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. See, God calls people into ministry. People recognize that God did that, but God is the one who does the calling. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So when God gave that call for them to go out and be missionaries, did He know what they were going to experience? Did He know the adventures that they were going to have? And He had already decided that His empowering grace would accompany them. Now for us, I know that this year has been some challenges for me in various areas of my life. And when I hit a challenge, I almost react like I forget that God knew that I was going to have that challenge. And I act like I forgot that He had already planned His enabling grace that I was going to need. And so He has to remind me, or some of you have to remind me, hey, Pastor Steve, this didn't surprise God. You know, He already knew you were going to need grace, you were going to need enabling, you were going to need empowering. And we're going to see Paul is going to need God's grace and His empowering. When they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. Okay, that doesn't mean laid hands on them and shoved them out the door. That means laid hands on them and recognized what God called them to do. And that's what Elam Fellowship is going to do next week with Pastor Van. I haven't decided yet if we have to call him Reverend after next week, but officially he will be Reverend. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, officially. I don't think we have to do either. Yeah. Okay. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, and being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Come on. So Paul was chosen by God, called out through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he was sent by the Holy Spirit. So they arrive at Cyprus. Cyprus is an island in the middle of the Mediterranean. And there they run into a magician, a false prophet. And this is the encounter that they have where he needed the enabling and the empowering of God to deal with this situation. So verse 9. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, okay, God changes his name because God changed his nature. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, now listen to this, he was chosen by the Holy Spirit, he was sent by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. He fixed his gaze upon him, this magician, and said, "You are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." That was a reverse miracle, wasn't it? Usually people come to followers of Jesus so that they can be restored, so that they can be healed. But in this case, that's what this person needed. And hopefully at some point, he responded to God's tug on his heart. So then they go to the mainland. So they were in this island, and now they go to the mainland. And when they get to the mainland, we see Paul again being empowered by the grace of God. Verse 38. if you're following along. Still the same chapter, 38. We're looking at the adventures that Paul had on his journey, his missionary journeys, where he needed the enabling power of God. 38. Therefore, let it be known to you. Okay, so he's announcing what the gospel message is all about. Let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, who's him? Jesus. Forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. See, they were used to the law. Did the law proclaim forgiveness of sin? No, the opposite. The law told you how many things you've done that you've sinned. And through him, and who is him? The powerful name of Jesus. Everyone, I love that, who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed from the law of Moses. Come on. God's grace. God's grace. Acts 14 now. Next adventure we're going to pop in on. Acts 14. Now they come to another town. This town is called Iconium. And they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a great, great multitude believed. Come on. We hurry through these verses. I do. Like when I say I want to have my devotions and I start reading, I might read a whole chapter. Then I went back and I go, okay, what did I miss? A great multitude believed because Paul was stepping into who God designed him to be and called him to be by using God's empowering grace. Okay. They entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a great multitude believed, both of the Jews and of the Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles, the Greek believers, and embittered them against the brethren. Now listen at this next sentence. I had to read it three times. Therefore, they spent a long time there. What? What? The disbelieving Jews stirred up the crowds against them, and so they left town. I mean, wouldn't that be what you would think would be the logical thing to do? They have opposition, so you leave and go to the next town? It says, so they spent a long time there. They must have known that God's empowering grace would enable them. Otherwise, you would choose to leave. God's empowering grace. All right, let's continue the story. They spent a long time there, speaking boldly, how? Watch this, with reliance upon the Lord. That's how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to be witnessing with reliance upon the Lord, his enabling grace, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, see, there we go, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. You know, Jesus hasn't changed. If this is what he was expecting his believers to do back then, do you think maybe he's expecting his believers to do the same thing now? Well, you think, Mike, that when we share the gospel message, we're believing for signs and wonders. Well, yeah, Pastor Steve, we know we invite them to church and they happen there. No, this was out in the community. When we share it out in the community, God so loved the world. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. And that includes you being healed, restored, encouraged, all of those things. The enabling, empowering grace of God. All right. Granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands, but the multitude of the city was divided. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. But when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, then they became aware of it and fled to some other cities. Verse 7. And there they continued to preach the gospel. See, I like to see the contradictions to what I would naturally do, because I'm a very logical person. So I went in this city. They didn't respond real well. A number were saved, but they came after me. They threatened to stone me. I left the city. Now I go to the next city. Maybe here I'll be a little quieter. No. Why again? Because of the enabling grace of God. Okay, so we're continuing our story in verse 8. Now they traveled to the town of Lystra. And there they found, not in church again, okay, but there was sitting, probably at one of the gates of the city, a certain man without strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him, okay, so you have to follow along the story. Paul fixed his gaze on this man, not vice versa, and saw that this man had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." That's bold. That's empowering from God. Because don't we normally say, "Well, let me pray for you," and we come over and we say a nice quiet prayer? He didn't do that, did he? He said with a loud voice, "Get up!" What? Come on. Am I interpreting that wrong? It says with a loud voice, he said, "Stand up." And this guy who had never walked, born lame, leapt up and began to walk. Come on. Leapt up and began to walk. Yeah. The empowering grace of God enables us to be who He created and planned for us to be. His grace enables us to fulfill our destiny in Christ, even when going through hardship. These things we looked at, these were not easy challenges. And hold on to your seats. Hold on. Because it gets even more exciting. Ooh. Okay, now down to verse 19. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, two other cities that they were at before. Won over the multitude. Now look at this. Look at this. And they said, "Paul, we want you to leave the city." No, doesn't say that. They stoned him. Now that's only three words, but we need to pause right here. It's not somebody pulled out a gun and shot him and he was dead. This was a painful, humiliating, public execution. They didn't pick up little pebbles like you pave your driveway with or parking lot with. They pick up stones. And the whole crowd pelts the person with stones until you have enough internal and brain injuries that you die. Doesn't that just sound lovely? I mean, of all the ways somebody could die, if you're going to kill me, just shoot it and get it over with, right? Don't pelt me with rocks until I'm so bruised that all my organs are bleeding, and then I die. They stoned him and were convinced that he was dead, and so they left. Well, that's a lovely challenge as you're fulfilling God's call in your life. Yay! They drug him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he arose and went to the hospital. He arose and entered the city. Come on! What is wrong with that man? Would you get up and go back into the city that just stoned you? I would get in my car and get on 81 and head back to Pennsylvania as soon as I possibly could. The enabling, empowering grace of God. It's just amazing. And the next day, they went with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they preached the gospel there and made many disciples, they returned to the three cities that didn't like him. What? I need to talk to him. He isn't doing this logically. He's not doing it the way I would suggest he do. The empowering, enabling grace of God. Okay, let's see where we stop. Okay. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Even in the midst of his own difficulties and trials, he encouraged the believers, come on, to continue in the faith, and said, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And they appointed elders in every church. They prayed and fasted and commended them to the Lord. All right. One more adventure. One more. Okay, remember we're talking about God's enabling grace. If God enabled Paul to do that, so far I have not faced being stoned. So is God's grace enough for me? God's grace enough for you? That's a good question, isn't it, folks? One that we have to answer. All right. So now we want to look at one more adventure, and I'm going to set it up for you so that we don't have to read chapters and chapters. But now he's going to an island of Malta, another island, a really little, on my map and my Bible, it's like a dot. It's below Sicily. And they go to this island. And Paul is now a prisoner. So this is years later. He's a prisoner. And they're taking him in a boat to Rome. Because it's a big long story. But he appealed to Rome because he was a Roman citizen. So they're taking him to Rome to stand before the emperor. And he ends up being imprisoned in Rome for years. And that's where he writes most of the New Testament, while he's in prison in Rome. But he's on his way there. He's on his way. And the ship is caught in a nor'easter storm. We've seen nor'easters. You know, that's when you start the morning with a half inch of snow, and by evening you have 32 inches, and you look out, you can't even see your vehicles in the driveway. Oh, yeah, I just love that. Yeah. One year the snow was so high that I would point my snowblower straight up and it couldn't even blow it further enough up the hill to get my vehicles out, and my neighbor had to come over with his bigger snowblower to help blow the snow. Yeah, let's not have any of those this year. Please, God. All right, so God's enabling grace. Remember, that's what we're looking at. Chapter 27 of Acts, verse 20. They're in the middle of this storm. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, okay, the sky was black, and no small storm assailed us. From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. Okay, these were soldiers. They were used soldiers, sailors, used to being out in the Mediterranean. But even they abandoned hope of being rescued. And when they had gone a long time without food, okay, now there's no food on the boat, and they hadn't eaten for days, then Paul stood up in the midst. Now he's a prisoner on the boat with soldiers. That's where I wanted to say soldiers. And he was under guard, and he stood up. Now talk about God's enabling grace, God's boldness. He stood up and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice." I'm sure they went, "Oh yeah, this sounds good." "And not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. And yet now, I urge you to keep up your courage." You can't encourage someone else if you're not encouraged yourself. Where do we get our courage? Where do we get encouragement from? God's grace. Okay? "And yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life, but only the ship." How do you know that? Huh? Well, you listening? "For last night an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood before me, saying, 'Don't be afraid, Paul.'" Oh, see, now we know where he got his courage. "You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you the life of everyone sailing with you." Come on. God's mercy and God's grace. "Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground." Okay, so what happens? The ship strikes a reef. The waves start tearing it apart. All the people on board grab wood or whatever they can find. And all, excuse me, all 276 people on board this boat come safely to land. Paul needed God's enabling grace. Do you and I? Absolutely. He has given each of us gifts. And he wants us to receive these gifts, unpack and use these gifts, empowered by his grace to do mighty things, to boldly testify of what Jesus has done. So remember last week I said that at the end I wanted to read a chapter to you, because I felt like we hear so many things that aren't true, and people say things that aren't true, and sometimes we start to believe things that aren't true. But the Word of God is truth, and it has the power to wash those lies out of us. And so I felt like I wanted us to just listen. You don't have to follow along, but to listen to the truth in the Word of God, where it talks about gifts that he gave us by his grace, and using those gifts. You ready? Anybody asleep? Everybody awake? You okay back there, Eddie? Okay, verse Romans 12, I'm going to start with verse 4. "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts," okay, all of us, "since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them accordingly. If that gift is prophecy, according to your faith. If it's service, in serving. If teaching, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Wow, have we had a year of persevering in tribulation? Just as we think it's over. Devoted to prayer. Right, Marty? Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse them not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. In other words, do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly and humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if at all possible, as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Never take your own vengeance, but leave room for the wrath of God. For he said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can we say amen to the word of God? All right, so here's how we're going to close. We're going to listen to a song. It's not a video. We're just going to listen to the words. And we're going to receive His grace today. If you need grace to save you, like I said, we'd love to talk to you, but you can just say, "Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I ask that you would forgive me, cleanse me, heal me. I thank you for what you did on the cross, and I just want to be saved today. I want to be born again and receive that grace, that gift of grace." But more than likely here today, you need God's empowering grace. You need Him to help you be who He called and designed you to be. And so as we listen to this song, we're just going to make it a time of prayer between us and God. Not the person beside us, in front us, behind us. Just us and God saying, "Yes, I receive your grace today. I receive your empowering today. I receive your enabling today. So that when I go out those doors, I can be who you called me to be, who you designed me to be." Amen.